Morning. It's good to be with you, and I was wondering how many people would be coming here on a Sunday morning. That as we're driving in, I couldn't believe the amount of rain. So I hope there we don't have too much flooding. Anyway, it's good to be with you and to minister the Word of God as we after the breaking of bread. Let's turn in our Bibles here to the prophet Micah. Micah. As we open up God's word, my desire is that we would reflect upon really what God's goodness is, but also how God instructs us even from ancient times. And as we open it up, I'd like to read a couple of verses. Now, I have a habit of doing this along with my sisters, and we learned it from our mother, to choose verses for the coming year. And so 2024, we each choose a portion of scriptures. And what we do is we share it with one another, and that is embedded on our hearts and on our minds throughout the year. And if you don't do that, I encourage you to do that. It's a really good habit, and it's a good idea to have something that throughout the year, whatever comes your way, you can go back to that verse. Be reminded of when you deviate, be encouraged when you need the encouragement, and also worship the Lord through it. And I'm going to read, it isn't just one verse, and you know, that's the great part about it, is you have lots of grace in it. You can choose the verses that you want, the amount of verses that you want, or a portion of scripture. And I have looked at a verse in scripture that is well known, and the one verse. The other one maybe is a little bit more hidden in comparison. But in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Now I'm going to read from the NIV version this morning. And Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" Then it gives us three fairly significant things. It says to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Three very clear instructions. Now, the other verses that I chose are found in Micah chapter 7. And if you go over the page to Micah chapter 7, and verse 18. And in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, we see the prophet says this: "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." Delight to show mercy. Then it goes on in verse 19, "You will again have compassion on us and will tread our sins to underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham as you pledged an oath to our fathers in days long ago." May God bless these verses to our hearts. Now, in looking at these verses, I wanted to make sure that I understood who Micah was. Micah was a prophet, and he lived in during the kingdoms of Jotham, and he had a very, very, a very interesting way of presenting his findings and his understanding of what God's purposes were for Israel. And when we think about it, how Israel went into exile, they were punished by God. And here is a prophet, as many of the prophets did, they warned the people of Israel. They warned the people of Israel. Now, who was Micah? Well, it's interesting. I would say that he's similar. You don't have to turn there, but he's similar to, I'm just going to read a verse from 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, where it tells us that, and it's a list of people or men of the of the different tribes that who joined David at Hebron. And verse 32, it says, "Men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do." Now, the men of Issachar, and it says there, 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command, they understood the times and they knew what Israel should do. That's who Micah was. He understood the times and he knew what Israel should do. And so, as we read Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, it begins with that he has showed you, O man, what is good. And then there's that question, and what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? It's a question, right? Now, in verse 18 of Micah 7, it doesn't necessarily put a question mark there, but it does, in a sense, ask a question or make a statement. Who is a God like you? What does God require of you? And who is a God like you? And I've looked at these two statements and I thought, for this year, as we go forward and as you go throughout this year, it is good sometimes to ask ourselves questions about what God requires of us and what we know about the Lord and how we respond to the Lord. First of all, in Micah 6, verse 8, it encourages us to do these three things: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Now, as I prepare for this, and I thought to myself, well, what are those three things? Those three things are required of every individual that is a follower of Christ. Now, we have the privilege of looking back with the New Testament as well as the Old Testament at our reach, and we can look back and we can appreciate these scriptures. But we can also appreciate these scriptures because we can see how God worked in the life and in the and in the history of Israel, but also how the Lord Jesus Christ came in and how he displayed some of these attributes. But we can appreciate what the prophet here says. Now, this is not a verse of salvation, although there are principles here that we can apply to salvation. When a person becomes a born-again believer, the one thing that they have to do is humble themselves before God and repent of their sin. So that's there's a principle there. But this is for us as believers. How do we respond to what the requirements of God are? All of us have requirements in our lives, right? You want to apply for something, apply for a school, you want to apply for a job, you want to apply for a driver's license. There's everything in life has requirements. One of the things that this church would have as a requirement is that you be a born-again believer and also be baptized to be able to participate of the emblems. That's a requirement. Well, what does God require of us? And mankind, for so long, has thought, well, I will make up my own requirements of what God would desire of me. And what do we see here in Micah chapter 6? We see a prophet who's encouraging the people, and he's saying, these are some basic fundamentals. Now, this doesn't negate the fact that there were sacrifices to be made, that there were certain things to be followed as they were to be followed from what we know in the Old Testament. But this was to do with the very character and essence of an individual. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Now, when you truly know God in a very personal and intimate way, we can read Micah chapter 7 with a much better understanding, right? It says there, who is a God like you, who pardons sin, forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Now, we need to understand always that the Bible, very often, these writers did not write to us, right? They didn't write to us. They wrote for us, but they necessarily didn't have us in mind. He's writing here under the divine inspiration of God, and God is addressing the nation of Israel, and he's saying, these are the requirements that you have. But just as the men of Issachar, as we have read, they understood the times. So what does God require of us? What does God require of us? Well, I think sometimes we don't put enough emphasis on the spiritual gift of discernment. Discernment is when we can read a situation. We can discern whether someone is upset. Now, sometimes it's obvious that they're upset because of the way they're acting. But you know, it takes a little bit more intuition and discernment to understand whether the person there's something definitely going on with them. Well, on a greater scale, The men of Issachar, way back in First Chronicles, they understood and discerned the times. And they decided that they would not follow the house of Saul, but they would follow the house of David and the leadership. Why? Because David was a man after God's own heart. That's where the crux of the matter is. Is that what we need to do is be people like the men of Issachar, like Micah, who can discern the times that we live in. And he's given us great advice here to walk justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Now, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we get to know who God is, get to know his character, and find out how to respond in any given situation. The Lord Jesus was the great example of that. How did he respond in any given situation? Differently, right? He responded to hypocrisy with rage at times. But he responded to broken sinners with kindness and mercy. And so when we go out into the world and the marketplace of our lives, how are we going to act out these things that God has placed in his word? I trust we will follow what he has stated here. But I like some of the things that the prophet says in verse 18. He says, you do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. He wrote this long before they were even in exile. He wrote this before they even were in that situation. But God, in his kindness and his mercy, he gave them that thing that we can truly appreciate, and that is hope. God's hope. Now, I was thinking about something interesting that this passage also raises, is we need to understand that when we do justly, or we mete out justice, we exercise justice, we have to truly understand what it is to be justified ourselves. Justice in a court of law, justice in the world, and even within a lot of the worldly concept, how do they view justice? Sometimes they view justice by revenge. That's how they view justice. That's not God's way. They sometimes view justice as fining a person an extravagant amount of money to restore whatever has been lost. We understand why that is done. And sometimes it's valid, and sometimes it's the right thing. But in the sense of true justice, we need to understand what God's perspective is. And it's not based on vengeance or retribution. It's based on the fact that you and I have understood what it is to be justified. And so as you and I live out the fact that when we believe that Christ died for our sins, that he forgave us our sins, and that we have hope, that in itself is one of the ways that we can walk and do justice on behalf of the Lord, as we show that example in our lives. We've been justified by faith. We've been made right with God. Now, how can we love mercy? We can love mercy by the very fact that we've been shown mercy. Every week for the last probably the last year, most weeks, I've gone to a food bank to volunteer. It's a good work. But I go to a food bank where there are a lot of people that come, a lot of people from different nations, and specifically we see Middle Eastern people, and we see Ukrainians, and we see people that require certain things. And there's some people that come and also people that have lived here in Canada a long time and they have mental health issues or other things that are going on in their lives. And as we deal with them, and as time, when I first went, it was all, I didn't know who they were. So I was realizing that it was great and it was a wonderful work. And then all of a sudden you start realizing, you look out in the parking lot as they're putting the groceries in their car, that they're driving a better car than you. And so you start going, well, hold on. And so this has challenged my sense of justice and my sense of mercy. And what's interesting, it takes place in a church building, and so they are Christians that are behind it, but it is a program that is open to volunteers of that people that don't have any sort of Christian faith. But what's been interesting is that I said some time ago, and I really said it more for myself, a little bit of a selfish prayer. I said, I'd like to pray before we start giving out the merchandise. And I pray every time I go. And I pray with all these people, and I know that a lot of them are not Christians. But one of the prayers that I pray out, I say, help us to be merciful and compassionate, just like you are, O God, and you have shown it to us. That's how you and I can truly show justice and mercy, because we have been made righteous, we have been justified, and we have been shown mercy. It's the purest way that we can do that. A lot of people in the world will do it out of a guilty conscience. They will do it as a little band-aid on the life of someone. You know what's delightful is that there was a man, a Middle Eastern man, and as he walked by, his face was completely different than everybody else. And he put out his hand and he says, it's good to see you, brother. Now this man needs to go through as well. And he says, I've been a Christian for 25 years. And you know what he does? He brings tracts and scriptures to that place. And he talks with his fellow Syrians. And he tells them about the love of God. That man is living out this verse in a very real and personal way. Now, we can do that as well. Live out this verse in a real and personal way to act justly. Because if you are a truly born again Christian, you've been justified. You've been made righteous by God because of what Christ did at the cross of Calvary. And he's shown you mercy because he forgave you your sin. And he's given you, he's shown you his grace. And then finally, what we see here is that when we walk humbly with God, we must first humbly confess ourselves and be honest with who we are and keep those accounts short with him. Last Sunday, after a message, not on this particular topic, someone came forward after the meeting and with tears in their eyes, they told me what was going on in their lives. They confessed that they had been wrong. A believer. Now, how can God work in that person's life? It's because they were humble and confessed and were honest with their sin and the issues that were going on in their lives. How can we do this verse? We can't do this verse on our own. We've got to understand the goodness, the character, and the work of God in our own lives and react to it by being humble, not a fake humility, not a contrived humility, but a true humility that finds its example in the Word of God. Being modest is a wonderful thing, but true humility is seen in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ acted and behaved, because he had those qualities that truly showed us what it was to be meek, what it was to be patient, what it was to be joyous, what it was to be gracious, what it was to have self-control. As he stood on, as he was nailed on that cross, he could back up what he was doing with the way that he had behaved and acted throughout his life that was visible to us in those 3 years of ministry. To his disciples, they could pen the account of his life with integrity under the divine inspiration of God, because they knew who he was, that he had embodied all those things that prophet Micah had told the people of Israel, this is what God requires of you. And when it says in verse 18, who is a God like you? That's the immutable, unchangeable God. Who is a God like you? There's none. There's none that we can compare. That's who we worship. That's who we serve. And I trust that as we live out this life that God has given us in 2024, let us be able to discern the times. You know, we see what's going on in the world. Let's live out in our sphere of influence, where you live, the people that are part of your life. May we live out this verse in a way that truly reflects what God has done in us and through us, and extend it to those around us. May God bless his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. May it speak to our hearts, and may we know your presence in a deeper and more personal and intimate way. Thank you, Father, for these moments of truth that we've been able to glean from your word. We thank you for this ancient prophet who was touched and understood the times that he lived in, and understood what the possible future could be. Help us to be those kinds of people, discerning, understanding the times, and knowing how to live it out before the world around us, before our family, before our friends, before our fellow members here at 16th. May each and every one of us live it out wherever we are, because we have been touched by the gospel and been justified. We've been shown mercy. And Father, thank you that you touch our lives enough to help us understand what true salvation is as we confess ourselves before you. Help us to be true to you. In Jesus' name, amen.